Turn to Matthew 11. We're thinking about John. He's a special man who is the forerunner of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He was to go before him and their life, his life, there's a lot of things. We're looking at his life and we're saying, wow, what are some things that stand out? And this morning, if we're going to look at it, it's a sad time for John, and it's a time of doubt. And you go, what do you mean a time of doubt? John doubts. What does this mean? And we'll look at it and we'll raise some questions, and we want to see, what about doubt? And then at the same time, we want to talk about our doubt. Do we ever doubt things? And have you ever talked to a person that doubts certain things? And we want to think about our lives and how we deal with that. And so as we study this section, we really want to talk about how do we handle doubt? And as we look at John's life, we'll see some things there. We'll see what Jesus said. And that's important. Well, think about this. We all talk to people about who have believed in Christ for eternal life and they're saved or not. And we might say to a person, you know, you have believed in Christ. Yes, are you going to heaven? And they say, well, I hope I am. I said, what do you mean? And sometimes we talk to people and some people live their Christian lives out of fear. I mean, you could ask them the question, do you think you're going to heaven? And some people will say, I hope so. I don't know. And they have fear. So let me just raise some questions. First of all, there's some of them who are trying to hang on to what they have. They think they believed in Jesus, but they don't want to lose it. They hope they don't do something wrong to lose their salvation, or that they keep doing enough right to keep their salvation. And so they're just trying to hang on to what they've got. And then there's the other group that is they want to keep on doing good, trying to make sure they don't lose it. And so these two groups are back and forth, and you talk to these people, and the truth is they serve God out of what? Out of fear and not out of love. Because they're either afraid they're going to lose what they got, or they got to hang on to it, or they've got to prove it. They got to keep doing stuff to make sure they think they're saved. So here's the real question for us. Does God want us to have the assurance of salvation that we know we're saved? The answer, of course, is yes. Are we to doubt our salvation? No. 1 John 5:13, these things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Every one of us in this room, if you have believed in Christ, he has given you what? Eternal life. You're saved and you're saved forever. Can you know this? Yeah, how come? Because God promised it, didn't he? What did he say? The moment you believe, you get eternal life. And so when there are people who doubt all the time, and we say, because remember I told you about the lady I went to see in the hospital, and she was in intensive care. I didn't know her, but the nurse called me and said, would you come up here? And I talked to her, and I said, so you have believed in Christ for eternal life, and you have eternal life? And she said, yes. I said, so you know you're going to heaven, and you have eternal life? And she said, I hope so. I hope so. And she said it over and over. I never got her to say, yes, I know for sure I have eternal life, even though she would say she believed in Jesus for eternal life. And so it was really confusing. And sometimes we talk to people, and that's what we get. Well, this morning, we're going to look at John. And this is one of the saddest parts of the life of John the Baptist, because he's just an incredible person. And we see him that he's a great man, and he's set apart, but he gets arrested. He's in prison, and he's doubting, and he's discouraged. And sometimes in our lives, we doubt and we get discouraged. Let me give you the outline of where we are. We're almost through, by the way, with the life of John the Baptist. We already saw his background and the birth, and we saw his message, and then we saw his message about Jesus, and then we saw last time his ministry and accusation of Herod and what happened to him. And then now we're looking at him in prison, and he doubts. And where does he get the answers? And of course, we'll end a couple of weeks from now at the statements of Christ about the life of John and the believers. But what does John do? He doubts. Now, let's think about him for just a second. When we study the Bible, we realize that in Isaiah chapter 40 and in Malachi chapter 3, there is one coming before the Messiah, a forerunner. That is called the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and we realize that John was called that. In fact, when they sent messengers out to John while he was doing the baptizing and identifying people with the king and the kingdom, they said, who are you? And he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He's quoting Isaiah chapter 40. And then we saw after, a little bit after that, that he gave the message about Jesus, and he said Jesus was the Lamb of God, the substitute who takes away the sins of the world. So he's the Lamb of God who paid for the sins of the world. He's the final payment for all mankind. And that is an incredible statement. Now, remember, Jesus and John both were saying to Jewish people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Messiah is here. You need to understand the Messiah is here and then believe in the Messiah. To believe in the Messiah is then to understand that he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so when you see Gospel of Matthew and they're talking about repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that's not a salvation message for the Jewish people. That's not a salvation message for anybody. It's a message to look and realize the king is here. And then he says, here's the king. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So it's really powerful. Then we saw last week, which was one of my favorite ones of all, and that's about ministry. And what we learned from last time is all people have a part in ministry, and we don't compare ourselves to others. And our goal is to lift up Jesus. If you remember, they came to John and they said, Jesus has more people than you. He's baptizing more people than you. And it made John's disciples mad. And John said, whoa, no. We all got different parts in this. He's one thing, I'm another. We don't compare with each other. In fact, he must increase and I must decrease. And so that's what we saw last week, which was really powerful about ministry and how easy it is that we're doing things. We look at what other people are doing and saying, that's not fair. They got more people than that, or they get to do this. You just have to say, look, we're all in it. We all have a part. Don't compare with others. And the goal is to lift up Jesus. Now, with that in mind, we go to our passage today in Matthew 11, and we're going to see that John has stood against Herod. He has been put into prison, and later he'll be killed. And we're going to see that this is a time of doubting. Look at Matthew 11, verse 2. Now, when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples. Now, let's stop and think about this. He's in prison. What has he seen already? He has seen that he has baptized Jesus. He saw the Holy Spirit come down as a dove, and he told others that Jesus is the Lamb of God. He already knew that Jesus is the Messiah because he saw the Holy Spirit come down. He has been telling people that Jesus is the Messiah and the Savior and all of that. And yet now he's questioning. And you know, people say, well, you know, believers should never doubt. Well, sometimes things happen in our lives and we say things like, gee, I don't know. Is that right? Or is that true? Or, you know, what's going on? And so he says, when John, while in prison, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples. Now, he could be sending word by his disciples, and we could be saying he's sending word by the disciples to say, keep on going. But that's not what he's going to. He's raising a doubt. Look what he says. And he said to him, are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? So John said, go ask him if he is the right one, or should we look for someone else? Well, wait a minute, John, you already baptized him. You already saw the Holy Spirit come down. You've already proclaimed that he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What do you mean, is he the right one? Have you ever doubted things? Have you ever doubted things about the Bible, doubted things about salvation, doubted things about the future? Said, is there really going to be a rapture? Will there really be a kingdom? Will Jesus come as the King of Kings? Is when you die, do you really go somewhere else? Is there really a hell and a heaven? And I mean, sometimes we think through things. And so he really raises a question. Are you the coming one, or should we look for somebody else? And he's saying, are you the Messiah? It's possible to doubt when we get the focus on ourselves and our circumstances. Listen, sometimes when you start looking at yourself and you start saying, gee, I hope I believed. I thought I believed. Maybe I didn't believe. Oh, I did. Well, I know I believed. But is it really right? And did I believe the right thing? Did I have enough? Was I sincere when I believed? You start thinking and focusing on yourself rather than on Jesus Christ. And many who have believed in Jesus as Savior and have the promise of eternal life, sometimes they begin to doubt that they would go to heaven, that they would. So John says, to Jesus, are you the one? Now, he already knows. Jesus has already said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 17:17, those kind of things. So Jesus gives the answer, and look what he says. Jesus answered and said to them. He didn't say, tell John, wake up. Get your act together. You already know who I am. He didn't do that at all. What would you have said? What would you say if I came to you and said, gee, I hope all this is real? You'd say, you idiot. You've been teaching it for years. What do you mean, do you think it's real? You know? Well, you'd think Jesus might say, tell John to wake up. He saw the Holy Spirit come down. He pointed me out as the Messiah. But that's not what Jesus does. Look what Jesus does. Jesus answered and said to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. Go tell him what you hear and see. Look what it is. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. So he says, go tell them. Jesus' answer, go tell him what you see. And blind people can see. What? Blind people? People even born blind can see. John chapter 9, a guy born blind can see. And the lame can walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf people can hear, and the dead are raised from the dead, and the poor, meaning the poor in spirit, have the gospel preached to them. Jesus is quoting Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 61, because that's what Isaiah said. When the Messiah comes, these things will happen. Jesus is doing it. Even Nicodemus, if you remember, when Nicodemus, a Pharisee, came to Jesus at night, he said this, we know that you are a teacher come from God because of the miracles and the signs that you are doing. He didn't say you're the Messiah. He said you have to be from God. Now John is saying, are you the right one? And Jesus says, just tell him what you see. This is what the Messiah is supposed to do. And you could put it this way. Jesus is fulfilling the role of the Messiah, and Jesus is the Messiah. And then Jesus says these words in verse 6, and blessed is he who does not take offense at me. The word offense has the idea of trip over or mess up. And so he basically says, blessed is the one who keeps from stumbling, who doesn't get messed up. And sometimes people get messed up. We've known people who believe in Christ for eternal life, and they get confused, and somebody told them, well, if you're not baptized, or somebody said, if you don't live this out, or if you don't have this, and before you know it, they're going, gee, I hope I'm saved. I hope I actually believed. I hope I did this. And so what happens? What are we supposed to do? Well, what happened when John doubted? And so we're going to see what he did. We're going to see what happened. But and the bottom line is we may doubt in our lives. We may doubt. So let's raise some questions and start off. What exactly is doubt? Well, faith is taking God at his word. So what is doubt? Not taking God at his word. That doubt is saying, I hope that's true. Or, well, Jesus said, the moment I believe, I get eternal life, but I don't know if that's right. That's what doubt is. Doubt is not taking God at his word. Faith is taking God at his word. Doubt is not taking it. What brings about doubt? Sometimes it's an event. Sometimes it's circumstances. Sometimes things happen to us and we begin to say, well, if God is really real, why did this happen? Or why did these things happen to me? And John could be saying, if I'm the forerunner of the Messiah and I'm supposed to do all this great stuff, why am I in prison now? And as time went by, he could say, I wonder if maybe I was wrong. Is Jesus really the right one? And some people, John's doubting. And some people raise questions about what they believe. And as I said a while ago, the bottom line is when we focus on self rather than God, you're going to doubt. We're going to doubt everything that he says and does. And so you can't, it's like Peter walking on the water. Jesus walking on the water. Peter says, if it's really you, command me to come out. He says, come out. Peter's walking on the water. He's got his focus on Jesus. Everybody's probably clapping and cheering. And then he looks at the wind and the waves, and he starts sinking. And he says, save me, Lord. And so Jesus pulls him up. What happened? He got it on circumstances rather than Christ. Anytime we get off the word of God, anytime we move away from the promises of God, and we look at anything else, especially our own lives, we're going to begin to maybe have doubts, and we're going to be confused, and we're going to get messed up. And so we need to focus not on ourselves, but on God. So let me give you some things to think about. Let's talk about three areas of doubt. Okay, I'm just going to throw these out. One is a Christian says, I hope I really believed. I mean, there are people who will say, did you have the right faith? Well, gee, I hope I really believed. Well, you know, I could believe, but I didn't really believe. And I hope that, like, maybe I was really sincere, and I just don't know for sure that I really, really believed. Okay, that's one. There's a second one. I hope I have eternal life. Jesus died for you, and he gives you eternal life. Do you have eternal life? I hope I do. I know people that believe that. They'll say, I know what it says, but I just don't know if it's true. That's doubting. I don't know if I have eternal life. And then, I hope I go to heaven. But didn't he tell you the moment you believe, you're saved and saved forever, right? Yeah. So you're going to go to heaven. Yeah. I hope I am. I hope I will. And then there's a third way. Is God really real in all of this? And I think even John could be questioning that I'm supposed to be the forerunner of the Messiah, but I'm in prison now, and it's not working out the way I thought, and I don't hear Jesus taken over as the king. So I'm wondering if, are you the one, or should I look for somebody else? And so here's some questions for us. How do we deal with doubt? It's so simple, you're going to laugh. So first, seek the answer and then believe it. Seek the answer. You go to the truth. How do you deal with doubt? You go to the Word of God. And the Word of God tells you certain things. He says, you'll never perish. I give unto you eternal life and you shall never perish. That's what it says. The Word of God says, I'll never leave you, forsake you. What should you fear? The Word of God says, I'll provide all your needs according to His riches. The Word of God is, you go to the Bible, you go to the truth, and you believe the truth. That's how it works. And this is what John did. First of all, you seek the answer. John said, okay, I'm going to go to the truth. I'm going to go to the one that I think is right, and I'm going to find out because thy word is truth. And he went and said, are you the right one? And what did Jesus say? We believe it. I'm going to come back to this. I'm hoping a Christian say, we believe what we find. John, we don't know what happened. I imagine that when they came back to John and said, lame walk, blind see, deaf hear, dead are raised, gospel's preached, all these things are happening, he could say, then he is the right one. That's what we hope. We don't know. We all know that we've already seen that he's going to get his head cut off, right? But he doubted here. And I think he went to the source, Jesus, and got the truth and hopefully believed the truth. Well, what about us? What we believe, what we find. Let's start with this one. I hope I'm a Christian. I hope I believed. I hope I really believed. Did you know nowhere in the scripture does it say really believe? It you either believe or you don't. Believe is taking God at his word. You don't really take God at his word, or you sort of take God. No, belief is I believe something, I take it as true. And so when somebody says, did you really believe or did you have the right kind of faith? It's not the right kind of faith. It's the object of your faith. I can have all the faith in the world in Buddha, and I'm not saved. I can have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed in Jesus, and I'll be saved forever. So it has nothing to do with amount of faith. It always has to do with object of your faith. And so don't let people come to you and say, I hope I really believe. Listen, either you believe or you don't believe. Do you believe in him for eternal life? Yes, you're saved and saved forever. It is not the amount or sincerity of our faith. It is the object of our faith. I get tracts all the time. I read tracts and it'll say, if you sincerely believe this truth, sincerely believed it, how do you unsincerely believe something? And how do you not believe something? How do you say, I believe that, but I don't really believe it? No. I mean, it's something that's... I told you the story about it. I had this girl come into my office, and she said, I'm having trouble believing anything. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, I just don't believe things. She said, I don't believe about God. I don't believe his promises. And so I worked with her. I talked with her about 30 minutes, and I couldn't get her to believe anything. So I said, let me just ask you this. See my name tag on this desk? And she said, yeah. Do you believe that's my name tag? And she said, I don't know if I can believe that. And I said, you need to go to a psychiatrist. I mean, she did. I mean, she was mixed up, y'all. She couldn't even believe something. But anyway, it's not the amount of faith or sincerity of our faith. It is the object of our faith. So it's not, did you really believe? It's, did you believe in Jesus for eternal life? That's what it boils down to. How about the second one is, I hope I have eternal life. No, no, no. You don't have to hope it. You can know it. Jesus said, I give to them eternal life and they shall never perish. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, who believe in him will never perish, but have eternal life. 1 John 5:13, these things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Listen, you don't have to say, I hope I have eternal life. You have eternal life the exact moment you believe. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, here's my word, and believes him who sent me has present tense eternal life. You will never come into judgment. You've passed from death to life. Listen, you can know the exact moment that you believe in Christ. You are saved and saved forever, and you have eternal life. And you don't have to say, I hope I have eternal life. You know you have eternal life because it goes back to the Word of God. The third one is, what is God real? Of course he's real. Just go to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. I mean, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He has revealed himself through the world around us, through the Word of God, and through his Son. He is real. It always is true. Go back to the scripture. That's where you go. That's where you go. So when we look at this, and I want you to think about it, there are two aspects, two things. Seek the answer, go to the truth, which is the word of God, when you doubt, and then believe what it says. Believe what it says. When somebody comes to you and they say, I hope I'm saved. I just don't know if I'm saved. And you say, okay, have you put your faith? Have you believed in Jesus Christ that he would give you eternal life? And if they say yes, you say, well, then what do you have? Well, I hope I don't know. What do you have? What is the promise from God? It is eternal life, whether you feel like it or not. I've had people say, I just don't feel saved. I said, I don't know what saved feels like. Because I'm so filthy bad, sometimes feeling saved feels filthy bad, right? It's not a feeling, it's a truth. Jesus is the Savior, and whoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. Go to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God. And then the second is believe what the Word of God says. So we've seen John. He is doubting about Jesus. He sought the answers. He sent people to Jesus, and Jesus gave him the truth. Now, next week, or next time, because I won't be here next week, but next time, the people who came to ask John, Jesus about John, leave, and then John looks at the crowd, and the crowd heard them say that. They actually heard them say, John wants to know if you're the right one. And he said, go tell him. And then he looks back at the crowd, and he talks about John. And that's what we're going to look at the next time. What does Jesus say about John? You know what he says about the man who doubted? Out of all the people living, this is the greatest man, John. That's what he said about the man doubting. So if you doubt, go back to the Bible and believe what it says. But just remember, that doesn't change God's love for you. It doesn't change anything. He loves you with an everlasting, unconditional love. So let's think about it. Let's trust God when we doubt. And so what do? We go to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God. What does it say? You know, I had some young guys come see me the other night. I did a little Bible study for some guys, and they were asking some questions, and the whole idea came up about how old is the earth, and we talked about it. I said, now let's look. What does the Bible say? Did God create the world in 6 days and then rest on the seventh? And they said, let's look at what does Scripture say? And when we looked at Scripture plainly, especially the Hebrew, then they all said, well, obviously it's 6 days. That's right. So if a person says, I don't believe that, I said, well, you're going to the truth, but you're not believing the truth. You've got to always believe the truth. So what does he say? Go to the Word of God and then believe the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, the thing that I see people struggling with is assurance of salvation. There are people who have never trusted Christ who think they have because they walked down an aisle, they gave their life to Jesus, they, you know, said the right things, but they've never believed in Christ to give them the gift of eternal life. Then there's a whole bunch of people who have believed in Jesus and they have eternal life and they don't even know it. They're so confused because they've been taught that if you're a real believer, you will live out a certain way. And they don't live that way. And so they say, gosh, I don't live that way. I must not be a believer. Or I don't know if I really believed or not. And they've been taught there's certain levels of faith you can believe but not really believe. In fact, there's a group of people that teach there's a temporary believing. You can temporarily believe, but you're not saved. You just think you are. And then if you don't live it out, you don't keep it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So when we get to talk to people, especially about the issue of salvation and eternal life and the assurance of salvation, we want them to know from the very beginning, the moment you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life and you're saved forever. Now, let me say one other thing. Some people will say, if you tell people that when they believe in Jesus, that they're saved forever, they will live horrible. That's wrong. They will not. When a person believes that they have eternal life as a gift from God, and he's done it all for them, and he's saved them forever, they should want to serve him out of love, not out of fear, and not to live their life any way they want to, because in their gratitude for the one that saved them. When a person understands grace, they will live it out. But a lot of people don't understand grace. So that's the key.